Well, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, we were very excited and very nervous.
Starstruck.
Yeah. You know, I interviewed every president since Gerald Ford, sitting president. I didn't get nearly as nervous as I just now did with Sergei Fedorov. First of all, I'm not a sports guy. I mean, I loved the Red Wings and I followed them. I was there because we carried the games. I rode on the plane with them coming back. But I'm not a sports guy. So I was, but I, he was great.
Yeah.
And you know, Dan Cable, who helped us put all that together, wouldn't have happened without Dan Cable. He had said Sergei was concerned about his accent or his English is not his first language. My God, he was fabulous.
Yeah, I could understand every word. And yeah, I mean, it's an interview I didn't book. It's kind of like when someone else makes you a sandwich, it tastes better. But I can't remember the last time being that excited for an interview just because I grew up in those hockey town days. And
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to explain just how fun that era of Red Wings hockey was. I think what you do is you take the Lions' recent run, not this season, but the two seasons before, and double it. And then you're close to what the mood was like in the city for those
Red Wings.
That's
why we were hockey town. Yeah, absolutely. When Dan Cable first contacted me and we put all this together and I could get him on the show, that was, I mean, I figured I got to get Fred Hunter, CEO of PAL, because I was suggesting that it just made the most sense that PAL would be the recipient of a really large donation that is helping them tremendously. It was just a good feeling all the way around. And you know what? Relentless positive radio. In these days of news that's overwhelmingly bad, and what might be a country divided either way, you can't help but remember those halcyon days of the Red Wings and what it meant to Detroit.
Well, and like you said, I mean, obviously there were some hard feelings when he left, but I mean, that place is going to be rocking for him.
Oh, they're going to be very excited for him. I mean, they've done it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he came back the first time, they weren't happy, but they, you know, they get over that.
But he's beloved and he's a legend, and it's long overdue. I'm happy for him.
Very excited. Glad we could have him on. You can always get that, you know, if you're streaming us at WJR.com, but you can also go to the podcast at WJR.com.
Nice job getting that done. I know you're trying to give everyone else credit, but you did a lot of legwork on that as well. So,
well, I'm just glad it worked out. And I, again, thank Dan Cable, who I've known for years. And when he called me and asked me some questions, and then I said, well, can we get him on the show? And it all just worked out. And it's not easy. This is the day he is having his jersey up there in the rafters. So there's a lot of people calling on him and pulling
right
on him. So I feel very good about it. All right, enough of that. The University of Michigan is poised for another major leadership change. The Board of Regents either is meeting or has met. I don't know. And they're expected to name a new president. WJR's Marie Osborne joins us, of course, with the latest. Good afternoon, Marie.
Yeah, that meeting is scheduled to start at 1 o'clock, so it's just coming up, Paul. And
all
we're
right
talking about Syracuse University's Kent Sivirod. He's the leading candidate to become U of M's 16th president. He's no stranger to Ann Arbor. He's a 69-year-old attorney. He's earned both of his master's in economics and his law degrees at Michigan. He later spent a decade at that law school faculty, and he served as an associate dean. And his ties to the state run deep. He met his wife while living in Ann Arbor. The couple maintains a summer home in northern Michigan. He announced earlier this academic year that he would conclude his 12-year tenure at Syracuse in June. Before leading Syracuse, he served as the dean of Washington University in St. Louis and then at Vanderbilt University. The details of the contract are pending the Board of Regents vote, so we're not going to hear anything about that, at least not yet. He could serve the university well into his 70s if he's given a five-year contract. That's common among university presidents. And if the Regents move forward with him, he would step into a role that has seen significant turnover, Paul. We've talked about this repeatedly. He would be the fifth person in 4 years to hold that presidency.
Which is truly, truly, I mean, in the scheme of things, no reflection on him at all. It's truly sad that the University of Michigan has had five presidents in 4 years. I mean, that's just not a recipe for good stuff.
Right. And so what I think what people are looking for here, and starting with that board of regents, they're looking for stability and a steady hand. And they believe they found it in this individual, Kent Sivarod.
I pray they have found it in Kent Sivarod. I'm not at all familiar with him over there. It was the chancellor of Syracuse University. But he is a Michigan grad. He was, I think you said, a lawyer by training. He earned his bachelor's degree at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service before enrolling at U of M, where he earned a master's degree in economics and a law degree. Now, that's from his biography on the Syracuse website. Did you say he taught at U of M's law school.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
okay.
For 10 years. For a decade. For a decade, he was the associate dean. So he's well, versed in how the university operates.
He knows where all the sushi restaurants are and everything else.
Where all the sushi's buried.
Right. He's met, you mentioned he met his wife in Ann Arbor. And they have a summer home in northern Michigan. So he was never far away. So this is, in a sense, kind of, I'm stretching it, but so I can do that. I'm a talk show host. He's coming back home.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's how they look at this. And he's just kind of somebody who's flown under the radar here. So maybe he'll have some things to say. If all goes well today, he'll have some things to say in the next day or two so that we can learn a little more about him.
Well, so let's see. Here's the sad history. You just kind of referred to him being the fifth person in 4 years to hold the president's post at U of M. January 22... the Board of Regents fired former President Mark Schlissel after he had an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate. Mary Sue Coleman, the former president, was brought back for a second time while the school searched for a longer-term replacement. In July of 22, the Regents approved Santa Ono to be the school's 15th president. When Ono left in May, very upset with the way the Regents were treating him and wanted him to be political, the board named Mr. or Professor or Dr. Grasso, a former chancellor at the U of M Dearborn campus, to serve as president on the interim basis. So he's the one now being officially replaced by Ken Sivarod. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. So we're awaiting, that meeting's scheduled to get started very shortly. We'll keep an eye on it. And I'm sure this will be big news. University of Michigan has gone through such big changes even in the last few months. So I think they're looking for something steady here.
What the heck? I mean, our two biggest universities have gone through an awful lot in the last 5-10 years. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. And that is a very hard thing to overcome. I mean, when you're trying to recruit students, also, athletes, which is very important to these universities. But, you're trying to recruit students to these schools. This is very important.
When most of these folks got involved in education, if you had told them at the time that your football coach will probably make 2 or 3 times or 4 times what you make, they wouldn't believe it. Talk about a changed world we're living in now, huh?
Yeah, that's for sure. But it is the world we live in. So it is, it's what it is. And that's what we have to deal with. That's what they have to deal with.
So you remember going back to our conversation, because we're excited about it, with
Sergey. Yes, what a great conversation.
Well, you were like in grade school.
Paul, I was working with you. You forget, but yes, I was working with you.
I was making a joke because it was a long while ago, and you are forever young.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. But yes, I remember well, and I mean, it was just nothing short of hysteria in this town. Do you remember the people that made the Stanley Cups out of tin foil and then strapped them to their cars driving around? It was just insanity here best way.
And we also remember when people went to hockey games with bags over their heads.
Oh, I know.
Do you remember?
We
went through it all. Truly, truly incredible. That is for sure. By the way, real quick, your little puppy, who's now made a second appearance on my Paul W. Smitsta, my Instagram account, Beatrix gets more hits than anything. She's a beautiful, beautiful dog.
She's beautiful, and she's very smart. She's very smart. There was a great article in the New York Times yesterday about dogs that could identify language. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes.
But, yeah, she's real smart. Real smart
girl. Well, I believe that. She's got smart parents. We got to go. WJR.